The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to a Selection Sunday K4WIN special edition here. It is Kai Gregory to the top left. Of course, he's the man, the myth, the legend. He has been on both sides of this game for quite some time, over four decades of handicapping experience. Kip Kiefer, Birmingham Racecourse Casino Executive Director, and he's been doing sports radio for nearly four decades as well. He knows what he's talking about. And of course, the man who is right there at Ground Zero in Las Vegas. We're talking Case Kiefer. Of course, he is Executive Director and Editor of the Las Vegas Sun. This is K4WIN. Go to K4WIN. K4WIN.com. You can check our numbers out. And of course, it's a free site. You could also subscribe there. We'll have some writings down. And of course, our numbers change every single sometimes. And I know Kai's responsible for doing this, but sometimes we put plays up three and four times a day, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Especially in a time like this where we're updating, for games, if we're adding and, not chasing, unlike a lot of people that you see in the industry, they'll go 0-3 in their morning football games or their morning basketball games. So they throw three more up to try to get there. No, it's only if, we see the value, or if, Case, who's a couple of hours behind us, happens to chime in with no, take this down or add this. Not to mention, Kip usually throws his plays in really late in the day anyway.
There you go. Oh, that's good. And we're all over it. And what's our numbers this past week?
Last week, 16-11 overall. We took one day off where we didn't play anything just because the matchups weren't there. But we're 251, 128, and 3 overall, 66%.
Take 66% nice. All day long. You wanted some Tonyisms. Only one time have all final four teams been number one seeds. Can you remember the year, guys?
2008,
correct. It was Kansas, North Carolina, boom. Memphis, and UCLA. I was actually, believe it or not, I was down in Guatemala adopting my second son. And I was going, I went down in the basement of this hotel where we had just come back from the U.S. Embassy, and my son was upstairs. And I went downstairs to grab a shot. I was going to just get a shot and kind of just remember what this day was all about. And I was in tears, and there were four TVs down there. They had ESPN 1, ESPN 2, ESPN 3, and ESPN 4. And North Carolina, Memphis was playing in the national championship game, and they didn't have the game on. It was all soccer. It was soccer on 1, 2, 3, and 4. And I said, hey, is there any way you could take like one of those ESPNs and turn it over to the national championship game in college hoops? They're like, sure. And I remember sitting there watching. I remember Calipari sitting there saying, listen, we don't need to make free throws until we need to make free throws. And I think they were out 9 in the late net ball game. And of course, they could not make a bucket to save their life from the charity stripe. And of course, ended up losing the national title. So that's my remembrances of that 2008 season. So it's great. Couple other numbers, a 12-16 seed has never made it to a Final Four. A 9-16 seed has never made it to the championship game. And a 5 seed has never won a national title, which is kind of interesting because a 6, 7, and 8 have. But a 5 seed, if you're going to do your brackets.
5's a bad number in that tournament.
It really is.
5-12 matchups are nightmares.
You were mentioning that yesterday, Kip, and we'll start with you. We know the 3-14s, the 5-12s. We used to say, okay, let's move everyone off the one line on to the next round. We know we can't do that now because a couple of 16s have actually knocked off ones. But any kind of numbers that really sting you, that you remember, that really kind of stung your bracket?
That's the one that stands out to me. And I'm sure Case has done research. But it seems to me like it's in recent years, at least, it's almost 50-50 in those games. I don't think we've had a year. I don't have the numbers in front of me. I don't think there's been a year in the last 10 or 12 where a 12 hasn't beaten a 5. So that just seems to be the one that stands out to me. So you never know. And I don't really have a theory about that other than the fact that that's what, let's do the numbers, 17 through 20 of the conceived best teams in the tournament. So that's getting outside the range of the dominant ones. And I think we'll see in the SEC today, when the big boys show up, how different those teams are than these ones we've been watching, because I think you get those elite teams in the top 8 or so, maybe you get up into that, 17 range, and maybe they're just a lot more vulnerable. And I don't really have a theory for it, but historically, I know that's the number. A 5 seed hadn't been a very good place to be.
It appears the SEC will set a record with 13 teams in right now, according to Joe Lunardi late last night. It looks like Texas has got one of those last spots here. Despite the fact that the numbers are all over the place and everyone likes to pick dark horses, and of course, I mentioned that yesterday, it's better to be smart and boring than stupid and exciting, right? And if you're picking those long seeds or those big seeds because you want to be the man, you want to say, I want a 12 seed, good luck with that, because it'll last about 3 or 4 hours because the news cycle of college basketball moves so quickly over this. You remember 3 or 4 hours and it's over. With that being said, though, 13 of the last 17 title winners have been 1 seeds, not overall 1 seeds, but 1 seeds. Case, what is the biggest mistake that most bettors make around March Madness out in Vegas?
The biggest mistake. I mean, everything. I mean, the Vegas
betting him?
Cleans up. Yeah, betting. Exactly. I mean, this is a huge time. This is one of the biggest times. I mean, Vegas is going to, the house is impossible to lose this coming week. And yeah, largely it's just, you know, taking bad numbers, waiting till the last minute to bet. I've said a few times, I know which goes against a lot because I bet so many futures, but betting futures at this time of the year, I feel like the market's so hit into shape. Yeah, there's just it's definitely a minefield out there. And it's tough to navigate. And there's a reason why the house, this is a huge time of year and usually the winningest month of the year.
Another guy who has got his orange on up there, Rick Barnes. I saw that he is 1-7 against the spread his last 8 conference games, and with 1 day to prepare in conference tournaments, he's 1-9 or something like that. Rick Barnes does not do well. And of course, a lot of those games from his previous team, not so much the Tennessee squad. We mentioned 13, the last 17 title winners have been the number 1 seed. Interesting enough, though, only twice in the last 10 years has the overall number 1 seed made the Final Four. And we're talking about the Auburn Tigers probably having that number 1 overall seed this year. Your Tennessee boys been sitting there licking their chops at that 2 line, had a shot at number 1. What do you think about Rick Barnes' squad?
Today, they're 10.5 over Texas. Texas team that's already played 2 games, not real confident in that 10.5. I would play Texas or I wouldn't play the game. I think Tennessee's probably going to end up with the last number 2. They may move them to the 3rd number 2, just so they don't match up with Auburn. But
yes.
I don't think Duke's going to get the overall number 1 if Cooper Flagg, if he's really injured. And they said he has a really, really long shot to play today, which makes me love Duke and North Carolina over.
Yeah, Kip, we talked about this while we were getting ready for ABC 3340's the starting lineup on Saturday morning. Is 10:30, 11 o'clock. 1 seed, undoubtedly one of the best basketball teams along with Auburn all season long. Now they lose their guys averaging 18.9 points a ball game. Could be player of the long player of the year along with Broom from Auburn. If for a reason he was out, should the committee give them a 1 seed?
Well, it's just, if it's the committee from a couple years ago that thought about the Florida State situation, that precedent was established. They lost their quarterback and didn't even make the 4 teams. I know that's not a apples to apples comparison. There would be a huge debate there. I'd be interested to hear what Kai and Case think. Also, and you, Tony, Flagg is the guy, but he's not the only guy. Knickel or whatever scored 28 points or something yesterday. It's not like he's the only guy on the team that can play, and their body of work, their resume, especially if they go on to win the ACC tournament, and it's not going to be a cakewalk. That Clemson Louisville game today is that's 2 really good teams, and either one of them on their best day, especially if Flagg isn't 100%, could win that tournament. But, you know, we're back to the other discussion. How much does the committee really, how much stock do they put in these tournaments? I contend that by tomorrow night, on Saturday night. They basically have everybody locked in. They might make a minor adjustment here and there, but in my perception of recent years, especially, it's like they don't even care about who wins the championship games on Sunday. And I don't know if you guys will agree with that or not.
Kai, you were mentioning the North Carolina Duke game, and you're going to be all over that over. North Carolina is in by the hair of their chinny chin chin. Because they got the victory yesterday against Wake Forest, and here they play Duke again. I think the line's about 6.5, which I guess is, what, about 3-4 points lower than it has been when Flagg has been playing the last two games. I don't want to say this is a must win for North Carolina, but certainly a good shot for them to make a statement and say, listen, we deserve to be in, correct?
I think so. It's not one of my favorite games of the day. I saw it at 7.5 and 152.5 a little while ago, right before it came on. You know, Clemson's -1.5 over Louisville. And I know you like that shade of orange for Clemson. I'm leaning Louisville in that game. I really think they're the better team with the better coach. But my favorite play of the day, just throw it out there, is Illinois. And here's one that a lot of people are going to disagree with. I am in love with the over in the BYU-Houston game. In love with it. I love the way BYU played yesterday. They didn't play much defense, but their offense, if they're hitting just a little bit, I mean, good grief. And seeing the way these games have gone late in the day, that's just that's a couple of my favorite plays. And I'm going to be interested and really want to hear Case's thoughts on the two Mountain West games, because I like those two games also.
BYU, of course, the over under 135.5 right now as we're doing this showcase. What are those numbers and what do those late night games look like in the Mountain West?
We're asking about Mountain West. Boise, New Mexico, I believe 1.5. Utah State, Colorado State, I don't have in front of me. That's not one I've bet on.
It was 1.5 and 146.
Yeah, 1.5, I think. But let's see. I made it. 1.5. It opened. I made it one. So I don't have anything there. I do kind of like Boise in the other game. I don't know. I think these are the two best teams. I think I even said this on the starting lineup, just trying to talk about the Saturday night games. I said whoever comes out of the top half bracket, I would like against whoever comes out of the lower half. I have a future on Boise. I think I got +650, and I couldn't help it, but I bet him again last night. I got +1.5 even money. Now it looks like it's more +1.5 standard juice the rest of the way. Colorado State, Utah State's tough. I mean, Colorado State, if you go with the whole best player on the court theory, like Neat Clifford has been like literally one of the five best players in the nation down the stretch. He's been unbelievable. But Utah State's a little more trustworthy, in my opinion. I think they're, have a little bit better complementary parts. All year, I would have said Utah State's hands down is the better team. But again, I made Colorado State the favorite. They are the favorite. I don't know. My gut kind of says Utah State, but in Colorado State, the other thing, this is so unscientific and not something I bet off, but just so trendy right now. I've just heard everyone talk about Colorado State being the sleeper. And I understand what they've done. They've been super hot. If you go on recency, there could be some value there, but it kind of scares me having, I'd say the Mountain West is probably like the third conference I follow the closest. And they were just so schizophrenic all year and prone to some bad shooting games that I can't fully get behind the Colorado State love, but I get it at the same time.
K4wins.com, K4wins.com. Go to our site. It's free. And of course, you can subscribe to it too. All of our plays are up there. We're hitting 66% for the year. You know, I was watching the Clemson SMU game. My son came in from Clemson last night and he gets here just before tip off. And I'm all jonesing up. I got the chips out. I got the dogs up. I got the pigs in a blanket. And I'm like, and he's wanting to watch something from the AAC. And I'm like, what are you doing? I said, Clemson's on. He goes, it doesn't matter. I said, what do you mean? He goes, it doesn't matter whether they win or lose. They are what they are. And I said, you know, I don't think the players think that way though. Do they? I'm thinking to myself, you know, a scorpion is a scorpion, right? We all know the story, the frog and the scorpion. The scorpion, you know, nails the frog while it's swimming across the lake. They both drown. It's like, why'd you do that? It's like, I'm a scorpion. So scorpions do. Champions are champions. They want to win basketball games. Just because they don't have to win doesn't mean these teams aren't playing their best. Correct, Case?
Yeah, I think I definitely agree with you players wise. Like the players all want to win. And to an extent, the coaches do too. But I would say, I mean, I guess I can't speak like so much firsthand. Now, I haven't really covered college basketball on a day-to-day basis in like a decade. But when I did from like 20 to 15 years ago, I mean, the reason these major conference tournaments aren't bigger or don't mean more is the coaches don't want it that way. Every coach you talk to, if you talk to them off the record, they say we're playing like an 18-20 game conference season. We want the champion to be considered the regular season. We want to be judged off of that body of work. We don't want to go, you know, in this thing where we're playing 4 games in 4 days or 5 games in 5 days, whatever it is. I would say the coach's mentality is like, hey, it's great. Obviously, you want the check for the tournament, but the major conferences, they want to be judged on the full body of work. And there's no doubt in my mind that, with few exceptions, the scouting, the preparation, just from the coach's standpoint, is a little dialed back for these conference tournaments. And not only because, like I said, I don't feel like they care as much about the outcomes, but just the reality of it, that you just have a few hours turnaround. So I don't disagree with your son at all. I love the smaller conference tournaments. I mean, this is do or die, life or death, everything. So I'm a little more drawn towards those than the major ones at this time too. But I love tournament basketball and the major, you know, seeing the great teams go at each other. But I think there definitely is. It does seem to me like the fandom goes more than even the programs themselves, as far as meaning.
By the way, they got to change the rule too when you're going from D2 to D1 that you cannot play in the tournament. That is ridiculous. What's happened again this year where I think it was St. Thomas, or I forget what the team was, that actually won the game and didn't matter whether they won or not because they couldn't play postseason because they were going to D1. No team has ever won a national title after losing the first game of their conference tournament. A little bit surprising to you, Kip, on that yesterday. And with that being said, it's not to say you have to show up in the first game. These are Tonyisms, so they don't really mean anything. But that's pretty amazing, the fact that no team's ever lost their first game of their conference and actually won a championship overall. What are some teams in the SEC, since this is where we're at, we're in their back pocket, that are really surprising you right now? You think you have a shot at perhaps pulling out the automatic bid, or are there any?
No, I have to answer the latter. Going in, I thought somebody would emerge from the middle of the pack and maybe make a big run. But I mean, these teams, all these games have been almost the same. They've just slogged along. A team will get a 6 or 8 point lead, and it's just gone in the blink of an eye. The quality of play, you know, the league is really strong, and it's top to bottom, it's that way. But I think maybe on this players getting motivated decision, the players really want to go to the big dance. And you can see the urgency. I watched Texas and Oklahoma the last game of the regular season just a week ago, and both teams were just bad. Just careless turnovers, horrible shooting. Texas and Oklahoma have played like they're elite teams in this tournament. And I think it's the extra motivation of them both realizing we've got to win here if we want to keep going. And as a player, you always want that. And I think then maybe that's the missing element in the conference tournament. But now, as today, we get into getting Auburn and Florida and Alabama and Tennessee involved, I think you're going to see the Cinderella story pretty much dissipate, because these teams, you know, while the coaches may not be pointing toward these games, I just don't, the warlike atmosphere of the last couple of days. The Kentucky game was ridiculous. If you stayed up till midnight last night and watched the end, Kentucky had that game completely in control, just a horrible meltdown, 3 turnovers in 42 seconds. And all of a sudden they were down a point and had to come back with a miracle layup, off balance kind of runner at the buzzer to win that game. But all these teams have to be spent. The Texas A&M game was a war. Oklahoma has played completely out there, pardon my French, ass the last two games. This guy Fears, who has emerged for Oklahoma, I watched that Texas game. He was no factor whatsoever. He looks like Michael Jordan in this tournament. It's just amazing what happens. And I think tournament basketball lends itself to great performances, because basketball in its purest form is a tournament sport. So I don't look for Missouri or Kentucky to cause too much trouble going forward. I think it's going to be the big teams are going to assert their will, and whether their coaches want them to go ahead and play on Saturday and Sunday or not, I think that's what we're going to see.
We were talking about that. Hey, go ahead.
By the way, I mean, I don't know if y'all watched the Texas-Texas A&M game and even the Texas-Vandy game, but that Texas-Texas A&M game is one of the most physical games I've watched all year.
Oh, my God. No-calls,
guys shoving other guys full out right in the middle of the lane and refs not calling anything.
They let them play. It was ridiculous.
That continues. I mean, I understand why people say the SEC is going to have trouble when they get, you know, tight whistles in NCAA tournament. And the officials in the SEC tournament are not helping because they have let them, for the most part, play. And I, you know, the only reason why I say, you know, I would lay take the 10.5 with Texas. But you have to worry if they get into another physical game, because Tennessee's not as physical as they have been, but they're still pretty physical. And if Texas has to play their third straight day of physicality, I wonder. I don't think Kentucky has to worry about it as much, because Alabama's just not that physical of a team.
No.
But is Ole Miss going to run into that with Auburn? Because they will hit. I think they're the only team in the nation that's had somebody addicted twice.
Yeah. Same dude too. It's funny because I'm a Muskie fan, and I'm going to talk about it because this may be the last shot I got. And I'm sitting there; they're up by 14, and this is a great tournament team. And you know, Miller's back from Arizona, and they got the band back together again. I'm thinking, okay, this can't be any better. And for whatever reason, they just absolutely fell apart towards the end of that game against a good Marquette team. That may be enough to actually get them in. It's funny because a lot of teams are sitting there. This is the only tournament in sports where you control your own destiny from day one. And I don't think people realize that's why it makes this sport so wonderful. In college football, you can't do it. In Major League Baseball, you can't do it. You have a regular season, and then you have the bigger up say, listen, okay, you didn't make it in. And this, you can go 0-35. As long as you can play in your conference tournament, you control your own destiny, whether you make the big dance, which is really amazing stuff. All right, Case, let's go down to you. Tell me some bets that are really moving, some big-time lines that are kind of surprising you. The sharps, what are they looking at maybe? Of course, the show, we're recording it here on a Friday the 14th. It'll be up later this afternoon in time for Saturday's play. And, of course, we'll get together. We're going to actually be doing a couple of shows next week on TKR with you guys as well. So we're looking forward, because there's just so much action going on. I want to make sure you get all the plays at K4Wins.com, K4Wins.com. Is there any particular line that's moving that you're like, wow, this is kind of strange? And what are you looking at? What are some of your big plays?
Nothing too strange. I don't know. It's still early in the morning out here, but we have seen some things move. I know there's going to be a ton of attention on the North Carolina Duke game. I absolutely love North Carolina. When it first opened, I bet +8.5, one of my biggest bets of the day. I've been a big detractor of this North Carolina team, but I just feel like they've played so much better down the stretch of the season that I already thought they'd have a shot against Duke in this tournament. I was kind of eyeing to bet them here. I bet them 35-1 to win the ACC, which now I got a big boost with the Cooper flag going down. But without him, I think the number when they played last Saturday closed 10.5 at Duke, I think it closed 10.5. You adjust for a neutral. Okay. So maybe it should be like 13. Now it's at 7. So I guess 7 would have Cooper Flagg being worth about 6 points. I mean, to me, he's, whether he wins National Player of the Year or not, I mean, I think you can make a case for Broome. I mean, I think by any numbers, Cooper Flagg's been the most outstanding player in the nation, the most valuable player in the nation. So I think that you could make a case that he's worth 6.5 or 7. There might still be a little bit of value on North Carolina. All that being said, to go back to your original question, there's no way Duke's not a one seed, and I think there's no way they shouldn't be a one seed. I like that Kip compared it to the Florida State situation a few years ago, but the real difference is like a huge difference in resumes. I mean, even if Florida State was undefeated, they had like some sketchiness. I mean, Duke just has really crushed everyone and blown out everyone. I know the ACC is terrible, but they had a really good non-conference too, despite losing some games they probably shouldn't have, Kansas and Kentucky. I mean, they still did beat Auburn, who's we think is going to be the overall number one seed. There's no way Duke shouldn't be a one seed even with this flag injury, but I think it could be tight today. So I bet North Carolina a lot and still feel pretty good about it. I don't know, a lot of what Kai mentioned, I'm also on, maybe not my biggest bets, but I thought 10.5 is just a little too much. So I did take Texas. I worry about the three games in 3 days. We've definitely seen in these conference tournaments, like the rest, I know people sometimes like to minimize the rest, but the rested teams, to me, anecdotally, are just like crushing the teams that aren't rested. So I'm a little worried, but I thought 10.5 was just too high. And Kip mentioned my two teams I bet coming into the tournament. I really thought Kentucky and Missouri had a chance at a run, but they both lost their best players in the first half yesterday. I mean, Mark Mitchell's out. I don't see them beating Florida if Mitchell doesn't play. And then I got to sound like the guy's biggest fan in the world, but you saw what Kentucky looked like down the stretch without Lamont.
I think
he played 10 minutes. I mean, they turned the ball over just at will without him. He really means so much. And I'd be surprised if he played today. So, whereas going into the tournament, I really thought Kentucky and Missouri would be a threat to beat Alabama and Florida today, respectively. I don't know if those guys don't play, and it seems like they won't play. That's kind of a hard sell for me. I actually ended up betting Alabama pretty big last night when it opened at 6. I think it's up to 7.5 now. I still would probably bet Alabama at that. So I'm on Alabama pretty big. I'm trying to see what else I have. I mentioned North Carolina. You mentioned the Big East. That Marquette Xavier game was great. Really high level to me. I know Xavier had the big lead, but a lot of possessions up and down. That was like a tournament game to me. I personally think Xavier should be in. I think they're awfully good without some injuries. I think they'd be safer in.
And congrats to you folks who had plus the 2.5, by the way, if you didn't see the end of that game.
Sorry about that. I have a Marquette future in that one, so maybe I'm just too biased and too rooting for it. But I like Marquette today against St. John's. I know I've been kind of a St. John's detractor, and they keep sticking it in my face. They blow out everyone, but I don't know. They got some injuries too. Devion Smith's not playing. Marquette, just talent-wise, I think has the better roster going into the year. You know, that they were rated as the higher team. And I know people say, well, what does it matter 6 months ago? That's actually still super predictive. And the guys doing this at the highest level are putting, those priors in. I just think matchup wise, both the two games between these two teams were extremely close. So I think Marquette's down to 4 now. I bet 5. Still a slight lean that way. 4. I would not go below 4. I like Marquette. And then just lastly, I see another game I bet big here tonight. I guess from Las Vegas, because we have 3 conference tournaments. This one moved too, but I like Irvine laying. I got 9.5, now 10.5 against Cal Poly. Another of those teams playing, but I think this is their third game in 3 nights. Irvine's going to be really motivated. They were supposed to be like the mid-major killer like team that no one could beat going into the year. Obviously, they've been upended by UC San Diego, who's the one seed in the Big West, but they have a lot of size. Rebound really well. Cal Poly is extremely fun to watch. I think they play the fastest pace in the nation, all offense. But I'm pretty sure Irvine blew them out at least one of the 2 times they played this year. Now rested, Irvine's life on the line with an experienced team. Irvine's another one I bet pretty big, and it looks like it has moved in my direction as well.
I know the coaches may not like it, but I'm just looking at the roster games here on this Friday. We usually get all these games on Saturday. And I mean, just like the Oregon-Michigan State game. I mean, there's so many, Kip. There's so many great games going in today.
It's insane.
It really is insane. It's really good. What are some teams that are sticking out to you over the next couple of days you really like before Selection Sunday?
Well, it's gonna be tough to top Case going with the Anteaters. That's one of the best nicknames in all of college basketball at UC Irvine. So I don't have any original teams like that. But I kind of hang around SEC territory. I don't really like the early numbers I looked at right before we came on the air today. Auburn's 12.5, and I guess that's justified. Ole Miss just went to Florida last weekend and played a comparable team, and didn't go well, despite Ole Miss's dramatic win over Tennessee earlier in the week. So seeing that Florida game and how Ole Miss played, I'm skeptical that they're going to be able to stay with Auburn, but boy, you hate giving 12.5 in this crazy tournament. Arkansas had every opportunity to knock Ole Miss off yesterday in this ridiculous war of attrition that has been the SEC tournament. But I would grudgingly have to give the points with Auburn, because I think coming off a couple of losses in a row, we're talking about players' mentality again. I bet those guys are itching to get back on the court and really make somebody pay for that, because this team has got a lot of pride in itself. And I think they're kind of shell-shocked that they actually lost a couple games in their last 2 appearances. Alabama, I really think they're going to be really ready to play as well. I think they're going to come out, and Kentucky's coming off that like Kasem, without Butler, they're just not the same team. And give them credit. They went on a big roll and got up by 12 points with 4 minutes left. But you saw what happened after that. I don't think they're going to be getting anything close to even a semblance of a lead today. And despite the fact that it being in Nashville, it's a de facto home game for Kentucky, which is bizarre. But everybody from the Bluegrass State is there. I think they had the house packed last night. How shocked would they have been if that game, they end up losing that game with a 6-point lead with less than a minute to go? That would have really been that would have shook up the big blue nation for 3 years to come. So I do like Alabama to take care of them. And I'm not sleeping on Florida either. I said Alabama and Auburn, I think, are the two most talented teams in the country. But Florida, if they're 1 and 1A, Florida is right in that discussion too. And the Gators, to me, are a really, really viable team to win this whole tournament and go a long way, maybe even to the Final Four when we get down to the big dance starting next week.
Patino's done a great job with the Johnnies. I'm kind of liking Marquette myself, plus a 3.5. I think they're a really good team. I think they just showed their a lot of moxie coming down from 14 against the Xavier Musketeers, a good team. That St. Joe's Dayton matchup is going to be a lot of fun to watch. Don't really have a side there. I do like Dayton -1.5 a little bit. I think that's going to be just a clean sweep game. Just going to be a great game. Two teams, they don't make any mistakes. I think they're both averaging about 7 turnovers a ball game. They get up and down the floor. It's great. UConn and Creighton, man, the Blue Jays have played lights out this season. They played so much better than I thought they were going to do. Coach obviously doing a fantastic job becoming in the double overtime game last night. Are their legs tired? They looked exhausted at the end. They're catching 4.5 against a UConn squad that's trying to go back to back to back for the first time since UCLA did it back in 1973. So I'm not so sure about whether UConn can actually get inside that number. Part of me tells me that Creighton, they know they're in, and if they get tired, they may lose by 20. But if they're sitting there and it's a 3 or 4 point ball game late in that game, I give Creighton the nod. And I'm going to take the money line on my UAB Blazers. I'm going total homer here. I actually talked to Coach Andy Kennedy yesterday, and he realizes that it's a one tournament, one league tournament, one league conference, and they know it. The players know it. He's like, I got to get my players' heads and realize, okay, turn the switch on and don't turn it off until I tell you so. He said a lot of guys are kind of boohooing and coming in. He's had to whip a lot of ass in the locker room, and he thinks he will have his team up and ready against East Carolina. They're actually giving up about 4.5 to 5. I think you'll see 5.5 some places, but if you can get a -200 on the money line, I like him just to win outright. I don't know if they'll get the 5.5 cover, but I like UAB Blazers. They play really well, and Andy Kennedy's won a boatload of ball games in his first 5 years at the UAB Blazers. Kai, what you got, man? What's some games you really love? And I know you've already given us some stuff for tomorrow as well.
I mean, I'm going to have to disagree with Cuckoo here. How can you say Alabama and Auburn are 1A and 1B when Florida beat them both?
That's a good call.
I think Florida's the better team. I took Florida early on to win the SEC tournament. I love the way they have been playing. I think I got them at +350 originally. Now they're down to +190. I like North Carolina +650 to win their tournament. You can get that right now. St. John's is -115. Marquette's +370 to win the tournament, which has dropped. They were +600 to start.
Wow.
Houston's -65, but you can get BYU still +550. Florida's +190, like I said. Auburn's even. Illinois's +500. Wisconsin's +450. And I really like the way those two teams are playing. I'm staying away from everything in the SEC today. I just don't like the way the tournament has gone. I think 9.5 might be a little bit too much for Florida, but at the same time, I can see them killing them. I like some stuff. I do like Illinois. I think they're catching one still. I like Wisconsin -1 against UCLA. And like I said, I don't know why, but I really – my favorite play of the day is the over in the BYU-Houston game, and I have never loved an over in a Houston game since Kelvin Sampson's been there.
His defense is always really, really good. K4wins.com, K4wins.com. Go to our website. We're going to have a couple of extra shows we're going to be doing in the next few days as we get ready for March Madness Selection Sunday coming up this week. Guys, thank you so much. Best of luck to you. Go to K4wins.com. It's a free website. Check it out, and we'll get after it next week, brothers. We can't wait. It's exciting, man. Can't wait. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate you, man.
All right.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.